a legend who I could bluff and say exactly 35 years ago today, this man scored against Manchester United in the Charity Shield. But I've been trying to check and I can't find the exact date. Perhaps he can put me right. Pat Jennings, hello.
Hiya.
Are you well?
Yep, very good, yep.
What, do you remember the date of that Charity Shield game in 67?
I wouldn't have a clue.
It would have been around now, though, wouldn't it? Around the middle of August.
Yeah, it was, obviously the week before the season started,
yeah. And that's the only goal you scored in your entire career?
Apart from a few OGs, yeah.
We don't count those?
Yeah.
No.
But, it just shows you miracles can happen.
No, you intended that, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I tell people that I've seen Alex Stepney off his line, but no, it was just a bit of a fluke trying to hit our centre-forward, Alan Gilzean, up front, and it's Miss Gilly, and now Alex come out the back of him expecting to pick up a miscontrolled ball, and he finished up in no man's land. And everybody, the ball finished up in the net, and everybody, including me, thinks, what does the referee give? I'd never seen it before. But eventually I got credited with a goal. So.
You did. It's a wonderful goal.
Yep.
It's a great goal.
It's good to have in your CV, but it's not one that you'd want to be scoring against.
No, no way. Tell me this, Pat. What are the memories of your career that jump straight into your mind? The ones at the forefront of your memory, the ones that you remember straight away. Would it be?
Without a doubt. I mean, my first winning my first FA Cup medal against Chelsea in '67. I was trying to follow another famous journeyman, Peter McParland, that won his medal in '57 with Aston Villa against Man U. So I had letters coming from everybody that they can imagine leading up to the cup final. Things everybody in Newry were sending me telegrams and letters, make sure you bring back another medal to Newry. So pressure was on. But I mean, I've had fantastic times. I mean, a couple of League Cup wins, a UEFA Cup win, and then on to the FA Cup with Arsenal, winning the '79 Cup final against Man United. And in the middle of that, being Football of the Year twice, Football Writers Player in '73, and again the Players Player of the Year in '76. And of course, then the big thing, having been trying to qualify for a World Cup from joining the international team Northern Ireland in '64, eventually qualifying for the World Cup in '82, and somehow then going out there and beating the host nation, Spain. I mean, that was an unbelievable night. And of course, then leading up to qualifying again for Mexico in '86, and finishing up playing against Brazil on my 41st birthday. I mean, I couldn't have written the script for that.
It's a hell of a CV, Pat.
Unbelievable!
Oh,
yeah,
fantastic! And you alluded to it there. You played for both Spurs and Arsenal.
Yeah.
Arch rivals. How were you treated then, and how are you treated now by the Spurs and the Arsenal fans?
One of the lucky ones that's well accepted by both lots of supporters. You know, I think hopefully I've done a good job for both of them. I went whenever I was supposedly finished at Tottenham at 32, past my best date by their reckoning, or the manager's reckoning at that time. And I went on to Arsenal and played 325 games for them. And of course finished up coming back to Tottenham in '85, leading up to playing in the World Cup in '86. And I mean, people ask me where my loyalties lie. I mean, I would never knock Arsenal there. I'm absolutely brilliant club, great, great, great team, great club. But I've been at the club at Tottenham 14 years in the first place. Then went back before the World Cup in '85, '86. And I've been back on the coaching side since '92, whenever Ozzy Ardiles went back as manager. He invited me back to do the goalkeeping coach. So I've been there since, still working at the club with the academy boys up to now. So I reckon I've had 34, 35 years at the club at Tottenham. So
yeah, you see, I reckon it's a huge testament to you as a person, to your personality, to your integrity, that you have this positivity coming from both Arsenal and Tottenham fans, because Sol Campbell doesn't, to give one other example.
He was different. I was sold from Tottenham, and Sol walked away on a free transfer. And I mean, you know, when you look at his mate Ferdinand and the England team, he was sold for 30 million at that time. And Sol walked away on a free transfer. So, I mean, there was a lot of bad feelings, you can imagine, at that time.
What's your view on the Robin van Persie move from Arsenal to Manchester United? Many arguing that it's foolhardy for Arsenal to sell to one of their main rivals. Some arguing that, including Alec Ferguson, that Arsenal have done great business to get £24 million.
They don't have a choice. Whenever you look at the money, they couldn't afford to let his contract run out. Every week he played, that money, the transfer money, was going down, diminishing. So they might have maybe qualified for the Champions League again, maybe, which guaranteed them £50 million next year, but there's no guarantee of that. But meanwhile, their assets is going down every week. So from their point of view, they couldn't let that happen, and it was best to sell it.
So you go with Arsene Wenger's assessment of the situation. He had no choice.
I don't think he had a choice, But I mean, that always happens. Not only that happened in our day. I mean, we had a fantastic team at Arsenal in those days, and the club allowed Liam Brady to leave to go to Juventus. Mm. And
Frank Stapleton to go to Manchester United.
To go to Man U.
Yeah.
And I mean, at that time, Liverpool couldn't beat us. We had played them four or five games in the semi-final. The cup came out on top. And then Liverpool went on. Once we had sold those two players or allowed them to leave, Liverpool had gone on to dominate things for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
And, looking back, you think, well, Arsenal could have been doing that.
The opportunity was there.
But I mean, that's every club up and down the country now, selling players and being able to hold on to them, We have got a problem now with Modric as well at Tottenham.
What's the latest? You're working in there. Is he going to Real Madrid? Is that signed and sealed?
I would say it's looking more and more likely, but the same situation arose last year and somehow the chairman managed to keep him,
Would you prefer to have him at Tottenham?
Exactly. He's a fantastic player.
Yeah,
that's the problem. The players don't want to play for you. I know every time you go out, you've got a reputation. Top players have got a reputation to live up to. And on a personal basis, they would want to play the best they can. But when they're going in every day and they're not happy training and don't want to be at that club, it's best to get rid of them,
What do you think? Premiership, the English Premiership starts today. Has that signing of Robin van Persie tilted the scales towards Manchester United regaining that title from their noisy neighbours?
Without a doubt, it has to be. When you look at the goals that he scored last year and the fantastic player that he is, if they can keep him fit. But then that's everybody's problem, keeping the key players fit. The loss of Fittage last year, that could have been the difference, and he's back again. But it's there's no doubt. When you look at the loss in the 94th minute, the last game of the season last year, and on goal average, it was ridiculous, But that's the way it is, and without a doubt, they've got a fantastic squad back together again now. Man U. So
who do you think? Who's going to win it? Is it Man U, Man City? Could Arsenal be?
Man City, Chelsea again. You can't see anybody outside. Hopefully, we're in that top four, top six again. Liverpool. Hopefully Brent Rodgers is going to do a good job there. And Newcastle, they had a fantastic year last year, so they could come through. So,
and they seem to have held on to their very skillful players.
Newcastle,
yes.
Yep. They're brilliant building, and they've got a fantastic support as well. So
yep.
They could be there again this year, pushing into that top six.
Okay,
it'll be tougher than ever,
It is. We're chatting to you today about an initiative that you're involved in with McDonald's. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, it's the grassroots football programme involved McDonald's and the Irish FA, and we have the awards coming up this year again. And I was in this week done, or the last couple of weeks done, the original awards in Enniskill and Coleraine and Lisburn and Belfast, and now we've got the People's Award coming up, where people, members of the public, can vote in for people that do a fantastic job in their communities with a grassroots programme. So that's what we're on about now this weekend.
Really looking for local heroes, those who devote time, effort to helping young people develop their talent, their skill, and even more, Pat, their interest, getting them out there, getting them involved.
It's fantastic. Whenever you go around the country and you hear the stories and these people are now getting 100, 150 kids into the grassroots programme. You can imagine the job they're doing in that community. Fantastic work in the community.
So how do you nominate someone? What do you do? Is there a website?
There's a website where you can go onto the website, McDonald's website, and check into the community awards. And McDonald's kick. that award.
Pat, thanks a million for taking the time to talk to us today. Thanks for being an ambassador for that initiative, and thanks for your time. The word legend is bandied about far too much, but actually it does apply to you.
Cheers, John. Thanks
a million, Pat.